Afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the General Government Transportation Committee. It's Thursday, January the 25th, the year 2001. And at this time, I'm going to open up an informational meeting. And I'll go ahead and do that. And what I'd like to do right now, while we're waiting for the committee to assemble, is to go ahead and announce some work groups that we're forming to deal with some rather complex issues and to be able to properly inform the committee and make recommendations to possible legislation that we would be dealing with. So, Patrick, why don't you go ahead and describe the working groups?
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll read directly from the letter that Senator George is issuing today. It reads, Dear committee members and public, I have established four working groups to study highway cost allocation, measures for streamlining the Oregon weight mile tax, alternative road financing mechanisms, and the mitigation of studded tire damage. The members listed below include some of the most prominent experts in their respective fields. Each will provide invaluable expertise in improving Oregon's transportation network. Through the application of sound public policy and technical expertise, these working groups will foster equity and efficiency in government transportation programs. The working groups are as follows. Highway cost allocation. Lloyd Hinion, Integrated Transportation Solutions, is the chair. Charles Vars, Oregon State University. Richard Yates, Legislative Revenue Office. John Maris, Oregon Department of Transportation. Kevin Kelly, First Call Heating and Cooling. Ron Chastain, Chastain Economic Consulting. Ollie Snowden, Lane County. Peter Fernandez, City of Salem. Rich Angstrom, Oregon Concrete and Aggregate Producers Association. Weight Mile Tax Streamlining. Anthony Ruffalo, Portland State University, Chair. John Maris, Oregon Department of Transportation. Darrell Ulner, Gresham Transfer. Dan Malik, Malik and Associates. Lloyd Hinion, Integrated Transportation Solutions. Don Negri, Willamette University. Rex Gilley, Jubitz Truck Stops. Greg Del Ponte, Oregon Department of Transportation. Alternative Road Financing Mechanisms. David Williams, Oregon Department of Transportation, Chair. John Charles, Cascade Policy Institute. Randy Pozdina, Echo Northwest. Dan Malik, Malik and Associates. Mel Zucker, Oregon Transportation Institute. Paul Cassidy, Dane Rauscher. Mark Lear, City of Portland. Mitigation of Studded Tire Damage. Mel Zucker, Oregon Transportation Institute, Chair. Ollie Snowden, Lane County. Bruce Boyd. Cam Gilmore, Clackamas County. Doug Tindall, Oregon Department of Transportation. Chris Bell, Oregon State University. Henry Hewitt, Stoll Reeves, LLP. I anticipate that these groups will meet over the course of the next 2 to 3 months and will provide written reports to the Senate General Government and Transportation Committee. Findings of these working groups will help guide the committee in the development of public policy. Signed, Senator George, Chair, Senate General Government and Transportation Committee.
Well, I think everyone can see that's a very prestigious group of people, and we'll be looking forward to the reports. I've instructed Patrick to let all of the members know that the issue that we're going to be requiring of them is that everything will be fact-based and will be fair. And in fact, a couple of the groups, you might notice that the partisans who might be involved in the debate are not members of the work group. And with a little bit of heartburn from the two of them, they have understood our desire to have a group that was just going to be judging these issues on the basis of their actual credentials. At this time, too, since we're still waiting for our committee to get here, Patrick, I'd like you to go ahead and read a letter that we prepared in thanks to Director Krunigan.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As those of you out in the audience recognize, Ms. Grace Krunigan recently resigned as the director of the Oregon Department of Transportation, and in response, the Senate General Government and Transportation Committee has drafted a letter giving her thanks for her years of service to the state and commending her on the excellent job she has performed over the last 5 years. The members are in the process of signing the following letter. Dear Grace, the members of the Senate General Government and Transportation Committee would like to extend our sincere appreciation for your 5 years of service to the state of Oregon. The committee had anticipated a warm and productive relationship with you during the 2001 session and beyond. Therefore, it is with great regret that we send this letter. The state has lost an unquestionably superior administrator. During your tenure as the director of the Oregon Department of Transportation, the agency has been faced with many difficult and complex transportation issues. Under your strong leadership, ODOT has met these issues head-on and evolved into a more efficient customer service-oriented agency. In the last 5 years, ODOT has developed new technologies to streamline the operations of the Driver and Motor Vehicle Services Division and Motor Carrier Transportation Division, the two divisions that provide the most direct link to the motoring public. In recent years, the committee and the people of Oregon have witnessed a continued improvement in highway safety, DMV operations, ODOT efficiency, public transportation, aviation, and passenger rail. The committee recognizes that these gains are due in large part to your vision, dedication, and service to the people of Oregon. We, the committee members, extend our most sincere thanks to you for your commitment to excellence and service. We invite your continued communication with the committee on statewide transportation issues and remain extremely confident that you will continue to serve the best interests of our society. We wish you and your family well, now and in the future.
Patrick, thank you. And the initial reaction from all of our members was excellent. They're anxious to sign that letter, and it is with sincere appreciation for the changes that we've been able to see that we write that letter. At this time, I would like to go ahead and ask Region 1 Manager Kay Van Sickle to come forward. And while Kay is coming forward, I'll tell you a little bit about how this her invitation came about. I had a constituent call from a person in Newburgh that said, boy, why can't we do things here in Newburgh like we saw up in Region 1 through King City and Tigard? And when I called Kay, I said, you know, the comment that came out from several people, including myself, was how wonderfully we thought those projects had been staged, the way that they worked with the business districts, with the commuters to make sure our system continued to function, and with what I thought was a very moderate price. And I also mentioned, of course, Highway 217 interchange, in which we continue to hear good things about what's happening there. So with that, I will turn it over to you.
Okay.
And welcome.
Thank you very much, Chair George. For the record, I'm Kay Van Sickle, the Region 1 Manager with Oregon Department of Transportation. And I want to thank you very much for inviting me here today to talk about this project. Obviously, I'm very proud of it. With me today is Steve Harry, and he's the Community Relations Manager, and he had a big part in much of the comments that were just made about how friendly this project was for the community. We have received numerous compliments on the successful completion of this project on a very congested section of highway that is at maximum capacity from early in the morning till late in the evening. This is not only a major commuter route for the Portland area, but it's also a major artery for access to the coast. So that means traffic is heavy on weekdays and weekends. The key to the success of this project and others throughout the state is a customized approach that takes the many challenges and individual needs of the stakeholders into construction. The project started in April and was completed in August of 2000, on time and on budget, I would like to reference. But work actually began nearly a year before the construction was underway. In the design phase, traffic, staging, night work, and community issues were identified. Advance work helped prepare the community for the project. Urban highway projects really require a great deal of sensitivity to a large number of issues, and this project was no exception to that. With as many as 53,000 to 56,000 vehicles per day using the highway between 6 a.m. and 9 p.m., it was really very essential to keep that traffic maintained, not shut it down. Because of that heavy volume of traffic during the day, much of the construction on this project was completed at night to minimize the traffic disruptions. More and more, our work in Region 1 and in other high-traffic areas throughout the state is being done at night. Night work brings its own set of issues. Clearly, safety is one of the key issues so that the work can be done in the safest way possible. Night work creates noise at a time when most people are trying to relax and get a good night's sleep. So construction impacts to adjacent neighborhoods must be kept to a minimum. The goal of this project was to complete it as quickly as possible through a very aggressive staging and scheduling process while being sensitive to that community and their needs. Access to homes and businesses were maintained 24 hours a day. tough job, but it was done. A great deal of coordination was done with the utilities in advance of this project. City underground utility work and fiber optic installation was completed before the paving project to ensure that the new pavement would not be torn up a short time after completion. Emergency services required access throughout the project area at all times. This was a $2.2 million project. It was a preservation or pavement preservation project along approximately 5 miles of 99W from Southwest 60th Avenue to the Tualatin River Bridge. In addition to grinding off the old, worn, and I have to say rutted pavement, the project also replaced guardrails, upgraded signing, installed new highly reflective durable striping, replaced bridge joints that had worn out, and had replaced some bridge railings and sidewalks. Traffic islands were replaced all along the project. In the areas that were wide enough for bicycle lanes, they were striped to separate them from the traffic. In those areas where there wasn't enough width, the bicycles are sharing with the traffic. The entire length of the project was overlaid with 1.5 inches of new asphalt. The success of this project can be attributed to advanced planning, close coordination with jurisdictions, the utilities, and the affected businesses and residents of the area. Emergency services from Portland, Tigert, the Tualatin Valley Fire and Rescue Service were contacted early, and communication continued throughout the project. Coordination with the cities of Tigert and Tualatin resulted in underground work being completed ahead of the project. To give you an example, approximately 50 manholes were adjusted prior to the paving. A fiber optic company installed new facilities under the roadway prior to the project, eliminating the need, as I said earlier, to cut into the new pavement. Businesses were contacted in an effort to minimize their disruptions and to ensure access. Several restaurants and hotels are located along this project. One resident, as an example, has severe allergies, and it required advance notice to seal her doors and windows to prevent the adverse reactions to the fumes from the paving. So ODOT staff made frequent contacts with her and her nurse to ensure that her needs were met also. In addition to the work within ODOT to bring this project to a successful conclusion, a great deal of communication was required with people outside the agency, and that really falls to Steve's area. He's the person who did that. The most important aspect of the communications program was immediate response to anyone expressing any concern and seeking any information about the project. Long before the construction began, staff met with the cities, affected residents, and the businesses. With a large amount of night work, it was essential to communicate the project details to the community and then listen to their concerns and then respond to those concerns. In addition to numerous meetings, project notices were sent to 23,000 households and businesses in the area. A fax tree was set up to bring up-to-date information to 25 of the key stakeholders. A website was created linking other jurisdictions such as cities and counties. Recorded telephone information was updated daily. A 24-hour hotline answered by the project manager or a live operator kept stakeholders in touch with the project. 8 different project update notices were delivered door to door. The media was updated daily with traffic advisories and a weekly news release. Individual interviews were given to several broadcasts and print media outlets. Traffic ads were purchased on radio stations, on-screen theater advertisements to reach the broadest audience possible. I think, though, the most important element of this project was really the team of people who worked on it, who genuinely cared about delivering a quality project to meet the needs of the community. The general contractor was Morse Brothers of Sherwood, and they were an excellent partner in this project. The project manager was Marge West, and assistant project manager was Mike Struhoff, and they worked closely with the contractor and the community. The ODOT design team was led by Ty Fredette, and he worked early and put a great deal of effort into working with the concerns of the community. And then the ODOT Community Affairs Coordinator, Kathy Conrad, worked from design through construction to ensure that the messages were getting to the public and the concerned citizens. Again, I'd like to emphasize through all of this effort, this project came in on time and on budget. And that's really because of that team that I was just mentioning. It was their efforts that really brought this project to completion. Just as some general information, some other major projects that are going on in Region 1, and one of them has already been mentioned, but in June, work begins on the reconstruction of the Sunnybrook-Sunnyside interchange on I-205. The interchange construction on I-5 at Oregon Highway 217 and Cruz Way is about two-thirds completed and will be finished this summer. That, by the way, is one of the one interchange in the state that has the highest volume of traffic. The I-5 preservation project from the Rose Quarter to the Columbia River is just starting, and it will be completed at the end of 2002. And then the second phase of the Camelot to Sylvan project on U.S. Highway 26 is beginning next month, and it will be completed in the fall of 2003.
See, on that Sylvan project, what is that going to actually entail?
This is the phase two of the Sylvan project. Steve, you want to go through the details of what that involves and talk a little bit about what phase one completed too, if you don't mind?
Sure. Phase two, which the contract was let in October and construction is going to start next month, is a continuation of the project in phase one. Much of the work on City Streets, Canyon Road, Skyline Boulevard, and Shoals Ferry was done in order to prepare for this next phase, which essentially is going to be the replacement of the Sylvan overcrossing and the creation of a new eastbound off-ramp at Sylvan off Highway 26. The westbound collector-distributor was built as part of Phase 1, and eastbound similar collector-distributor is part of Phase 2. Most of this work is structure work, the flyover structure over Canyon Road for the eastbound ramp, and the new overcrossing for Sylvan are the major components of the work, plus there is some utility work and some lighting and the other features, but those are the major parts of it.
Okay. We have several other projects coming up. There's another one on Highway 26, which is where 217 comes in on Highway 26, and that's the Barnes Road connector, and that's coming up probably by 2004. So there's going to be a lot of work going on in that area. I guess, you know, the key point I'm wanting to make today is with that kind of work going on in Region 1, we really have to approach these projects very similar to the way we approach the 99W project. And we're learning every day the importance of keeping the community well communicated with as to what's going on and what to expect. So with that, we're open to any questions you might have.
Okay. I hope that the rest of ODOT is looking at this as a model, because most of the time we don't get phone calls saying, wow, this is wonderful, you just can't believe what they did.
Mm-hmm.
And having a person, and I'm going to embarrass my son by saying this, who lives right nearby this that didn't even know it was happening.
Well, that's...
And he's a very much road-conscious person, mm-hmm. person, but it just was, it's amazing. The other thing, too, you know, you described it as a preservation project on 99, but actually there was substantial addition to the capacity of that road. I mean, there's a couple places where I've noticed a double turn lanes that have mm-hmm. been established in there.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and also, wasn't that a grind down prior to...
Yes, it was. It was grinded. They ground it down to smooth it out because it was deeply rutted. And so it was a grind and then a pave. That is correct. A lot of our roads in Region 1 have the rutting problem, and most of them get ground down before they're paved.
So we're talking about studded snow tires again here?
Well, could be.
Okay. As you can see, that's going to be an issue we try to address this time,
yeah.
And we'll ask you for your input on that,
okay.
too.
Okay.
Okay. Well, I wish I had the whole committee here to see this, but I think the tapes are running, so we'll make
okay.
sure they get a copy of it.
Okay.
The other thing is, could you do a favor for me, and could you get me, like, either email or addresses for all of our staff and Morris Brothers I can look
mm-hmm.
up? I'd like
okay.
to get something from the committee, you know, commending them for their work. Was there any awards or, you know, given to you guys for this thing? I mean, of any kind?
No. No, it's kind of the way we do business these days.
Well, it's a good way to do business.
Well, thank you.
We thank you very much.
Uh-huh.
Thanks again for coming. Steve, congratulations to you, too.
Thank you.
Job really well done.
Thank you for the invitation. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
And if I could approach this for a minute, I'll get out of
the way here. Oh, certainly. We'll just stand at ease for a couple of minutes while you get everything shut down.